Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the beauty of the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the Lord came and walked this earth and gave victory and gave us his name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And now the Lord Jesus has given us his name, and we have it and we use it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord came and lived the life and died. And he did not leave anybody a land title. He did not leave anything, you know. There was nothing to inherit from him apart from his name. Praise the Lord. But that's all we need. Eh? Glory to God. There is nobody who Jesus said, I've left you a land title. Actually, the only inheritance is when he told John to look after his mother. John was an age mate of Jesus. They were about the same age. I read somewhere some guy who said that the Apostle John is still on earth. Then I also realized it's one of those sadhus, those guys who are in the Himalayas with beards up to down like this and so on. And they live purely supernatural lives. Some of them are Christians. Now, I realize that nobody who has had a visitation of heaven said they saw the Apostle John. Do you know that? I've read so many accounts. They have met Paul, they have met Peter, they have met what? But nobody says they met John. And that man says, I know where he is. Apparently, he's somewhere in South America or something. He must be speaking Spanish. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says that fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Praise the Lord. It says, fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, lay hold on eternal life. Now, of course, previously when we listen to lay hold on eternal life, we think that he means lay hold on heaven. So we think you have to fight very hard to what? So he's telling him fight hard to go to heaven. But you know that's not true. Eh? That's not what he's telling him. He's telling him that lay hold on the life which you are supposed to have, which is the eternal life, which you know is Zoe. Now that's what he means. On a specific kind of life, lay hold on it. But you actually do that through fighting the good fight of faith. And I want to tell you this, that nobody can tell you to lay hold on something, hold on to something, unless it is going to come under some kind of attack. Amen? Imagine if you're at home and they told you, hold on to your handbag. You'd say, why should I do that? But if you are somewhere downtown, they say, hold on to your handbag. It means that it can come under threat anytime. So he's telling him, lay hold, hold on to eternal life. Because it's not obvious. It's not something that you just get. It's something that you actually have to fight for. Let's read it in the Amplified. Fight the good fight of faith, in brackets, in conflict with evil. That's what it says. Fight the good fight of faith in conflict with evil. Now, also, if you are, depending on your disposition, you might think evil is something, you know, evil. But actually, the evil he's talking about is something which comes to make sure that you do not have that eternal life. That actually tries to come and shake everything that you believe about yourself. And at the end of the day, you're no longer confident of having eternal life. He says, fight the good fight of faith, in brackets, in conflict with evil. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. Now, the evil that actually stands against you having eternal life is the one that you are supposed to stand against with faith. Amen? That's why you remember the arm of God. He says that having done all things, you know, fight that you may stand, that you may stand and be in faith and believe the things that you are actually confessed to have believed at some stage. Because the confessions of your eternal life, of your how you live a life of victory, of prosperity, of health, are confessions you've made before, but they will always come under attack from something. Usually it is an event around your life, or even some information that comes that is contrary to it. And now that is the evil he's talking about. Because the purpose of evil, of everything that the devil throws at you, the only thing he's actually interested in is that you lose your faith. And that the things which he once affirmed to be true, you are no longer sure of them. You remember what Jesus told Peter? Jesus told Peter that Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. And told him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you. Now, I want you to notice two things here. Number one, the Lord says there is no temptation that is going to come unless he has first sieved it and seen that you have the ability to overcome it. Amen? Then he also says if you fail in the time of trial, it's because you're weak. Because the Lord has adjudged that you're capable of doing that. That's why he lets it. So Satan could not just come. Of course, at the time, he had to ask the Lord because Peter was under the care of what? Of Jesus. So he says, he has asked for you. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, that he's going to show you like some experience, something terrible is coming. I'm just trying to expand it. Something terrible is coming that Satan is going to try and see if you actually are serious to, you know, sift you like wheat. But then the Lord said in the next verse, he says, but I have prayed for you that Satan may not sift you. Is that what he says? No, let him sift you. I allowed him to sift you. But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. That after he's through with it all, that you come back and say, I still believe what I believed before. Praise the Lord. Now, some people in these siftings actually come out and they are no longer confident of anything they affirmed before because it has come under threat and now they are not fighting the good fight of faith against evil. And sometimes because they don't even believe there is a fight, you believe that because at some stage you believed something and it actually gave birth to something positive, that it is going to be the case and it's going to continue being the case without any conflict. No, it has to come under conflict. And he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And then, of course, Jesus knew his prayers were going to be answered. So he said, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, first of all, he knew he was going to return. You're going to be sifted, but I've prayed that you return and you return strong. Then he says, now, strengthen your brethren, because now you've gone through that sifting and now your faith has come out stronger. Now you're in position to actually strengthen your brethren. Praise the Lord. Now, the fighting against evil, by the way, starts from small things. Everything that you want to see a positive result in and that you are confessing. And sometimes that you've even already seen positive results. But then somehow something happens and then you seem to be going through a ditch. And now I know many such people because, of course, so many people come and tell me things. But somebody comes and tells you, man, when I came here, I was doing badly. Things were not moving. Then somehow I got a good day. This worked out. Then what? I got business. This and this worked out. Then, man, now life was good. But now there seems to be a blockage. Now, that is always going to happen. The only way you can actually really, really avoid it to happen is when you know how to constantly manage your conflict. Because a conflict is going to come. If somebody comes and tells me that, I'm looking at them to see, has your faith shifted? Do you still believe that those things? Or because your results have changed now, have you changed? Because somehow the abundance that you seem to enjoy is no longer coming. Are you still the same person or has your faith shifted? Are you beginning to doubt now about all these things? And by the way, so many people doubt. Then they start moving from place to place. And I know that. Then they come and tell me, I dreamt that, you know, this is not where I'm supposed to be. What? And the thing is actually is the conflict came. Of course, you can dream that and it's okay. But the point is, so many of them come and they tell me they dreamt that and I know it's fake. I know that conflict came and rather than standing, now that's the best time to stand because always remember that God has seen you are capable of overcoming that conflict. Amen? Otherwise, you would never have allowed it to come. There are so many things which God never allows to come because he knows you're not yet in position to handle them. And he's a father. Amen? Yeah, but now, when your father decides, but you, now you've grown, you are in position to handle this. Now, if it comes and you fail also, you then your strength is small. Because he's going to come. But now he's seeing, and now the purpose of him allowing it to come is so that it strengthens your faith. After that, you're stronger. Now, Peter, when he comes out of being sifted, he comes out and the Lord tells him, now strengthen your brethren. Because you will have been stronger. You know? Amen? You've heard the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you what? Here, there is no killing. Eh? But it just comes to make you stronger. Praise the Lord. Eh? And neither it makes you stronger. Because when you've come up in conflict, because everything, it starts well and you celebrate because it's, you know, it has yielded fruit and what, and you're happy. Now, know that conflict will come. But that does not mean that everything you believed was, there's anything wrong with it. No, you just have to stand and say, now there's one way of actually, even like, you know, because your faith without actions is dead. Amen? So now sometimes you can even put actions to your faith. So you say, I came here, I got powerful business, or I got a good job and so on. Yeah, but now it seems like the business is no longer going on and so on. Now, that is the time for you to go and look for a house you want to buy. Eh? To just tell the devil that you're joking. I still know what I know. There is nothing you're going to do to shift me. Or let's say if you are staying in a house of, let's say, 1 million, and the conflict comes and even the million seems to be a problem to pay, go and look for one of $1,000. Eh? Now, that is faith. That actually demonstrates that I'm not shifted. That my faith has not shifted. I still know what I know. And I'm still fighting a good fight of faith. And nothing that comes in the form of experience is going to change what I believe. Now, when that happens, now when you aim higher, then you realize this small thing just vanishes. One way or another. It always does, I'm telling you. And that was the purpose of it. That's why even the Lord allowed it to come to you. Just so that you rise above it. And now, after that, after you've seen that you lost your job when you're staying in the house of 1 million shillings, and then you went and looked for $1,000, when you are under threat even in the 1 million, then eventually stay in the 1,000. Now you will have entered a certain level. That's why the devil fights it. Because now he knows after that has happened, now you're concrete. At least you've gotten to a certain stage of you cannot be shaken anyhow. And now that's what God wants. Because if it is all based on flowery, you know, I came, I worked, my first seed, I got what, you know, everything is good. You will fall at the first trial. And now that is not good for your faith. But God will say, okay, let's first see if you really believe what you believe. Bam, something comes. And admit, you cannot say you overcame something unless you've actually had the experience of it and overcame it. Amen? Eh. Glory to God. If somebody came and told you, I'm walking in divine health, and they have never even had a scare of any sickness, because some people are naturally healthy. Then another one comes and says, I was diagnosed with cancer, I overcame it. Who actually believes more? The guy who has been there, because he says, no, I know. Now, there, when you've come from that, and they say, you have cancer, he said, no, I cannot have cancer. That is, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, not the temple of cancer. Eh? So you shut up, I cannot have cancer. Then they go and test, it's not there. Now you are at a different level. You are confident, like you cannot be shaken whatsoever. And the Lord even might have allowed, okay, that's the devil really. The Lord does not allow sickness. Eh? Sickness and the Lord are completely incompatible. There is no place in him for sickness. Praise the Lord. But some of these things, so the devil tries to come and check you. See, do you really believe in it? Then you come out stronger. Then now you have a testimony. Then now your testimony can bless other people. And now every time you say, I was diagnosed with this, but I overcame it. Man, you just rise higher and higher. And when it happens in the area of sickness, you will have confidence even in the area of finances. When it affects one area, you attack the other with a sense of, I know this has to work because I've seen it work. Now, it is so dangerous to believe something or to purport to believe something when it has not been tested, because everything has to be tested. Now, when there is a conflict and against evil, which he talks about in that same scripture, which says, fight the good fight of faith in conflict with evil. Always conflict with evil. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Now, when the evil comes, you profess something. That's why he says, you were called, and for which you made the good confession. the good confession of, I am blessed, but you lost your job. I am blessed, but you don't have land. I'm blessed. Now, that is the good. And now it has a lot more power when there is nothing in the actual world which points in that direction. And you continue confessing it. That makes God happy because he knows that you believe his word over everything. He says, so you believe my word over every circumstance and you confess it and you say it. And of course, sometimes you might not necessarily feel it, but just say it. Make the good confession against conflict. Take hold of eternal life. Now, take hold of everything that Christ died for you to have. Praise the Lord. Everything that he died for you to have. Now, the enemy would want, for instance, at stage one, that you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But he failed at that stage. So you did. Now, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants for you to live an ordinary life like any other person, subject to the same rules. You have to go and toil for your money and everything. Nothing comes. There is nothing where you can say, I have an advantage over somebody who is not saved. So let's say you had a job where you are earning 10 million, then you got born again. Then 5 years or 10 years later, you're still earning 10 million, and the people who are around you are still earning 10 million. So you are not different from them. And now I know that is the story of so many people, because in the churches I used to attend, that is it. You know where you're born again, but there's nothing in your life that points in the direction of you being special, different from others. You're just ordinary. Now that's the second stage of the devil. Then afterwards, he will even want you to be worse than the people of the world. Haven't you seen that? Where somebody is born again, they become worse than the people of the world. Now why? Because they did not fight the good fight of faith. If at the beginning you got born again and said, no, I cannot stay in the same salary structure for 1 year, and you confess that, and you confess it and actually believe it, and now people see you moving ahead like this, then he has lost stage two. You have known that being born again does not just mean you're going to heaven. It means you're fighting eternal life. You're fighting to see that you're special. Now, if you don't fight there, he continues going further. Live an ordinary life. The next thing, when they come to fire, the people who are not born again will stay, and for you get fired. And then you find so many people, and it comes from these churches which people go to. By the way, I wish like they really understood how dangerous those things they say. There is nothing as dangerous as listening to a word purportedly from a pulpit, which is a word of unbelief. It brings you down. The word becomes flesh. Praise the Lord. The word becomes, it has to become flesh. Like when, and now they are not going to say that you're going to be bad lawful. No, they don't say that. They say things, but you can see that the message, and a message is not just what is spoken. A message is what surrounds you. Praise the Lord. Because now imagine you take somebody who is prosperous. Who is prosperous here? Some of you are not even sure. What are you doing here? Okay, imagine you take somebody who is prosperous like Thomas and take him to that place. Now, when he has been coming here, he's surrounded by people who are like-minded and there's a certain way of thinking and there's a message. The message is not just what is preached here or maybe in partnership. Well, no, it's more than that. It is the lives that you see around you and the testimonies that you see. Now, that's what transforms people actually more even, sometimes even more than the actual words. Like what you see, what your challenges are. Are you challenged to be improving because the people around you are improving? So now you take him. Then when he gets there in some of those churches, suddenly he becomes the richest person. So they put him on the building committee, on the whatever committee, you know those things. And now it can feel good to the flesh. Because everyone who has a wedding first comes to you. Brother Thomas, my wedding has come, so please come and what? Contribute. I know what I'm talking about because I've been through what? Some of those places. And now, I went there when I appeared rich, but they pulled me down. After some time, they pulled you. I'm telling you, they pulled you down. So, they pulled me down from a point where you see yourself going down, 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 down. The next thing, you don't even have a car. It's, how did I come here? Like, and the surroundings, the message you get every day, the things you listen to from your colleagues. In other words, fellowship, you understand? Now, when you come and fellowship with prosperous people, even just going out there and taking our tea and what, like there's something which you receive from people who are receiving a proper, before even as powerful even as what you see from the from here. Now, after you realize that, you go into those churches and people are poor in a way which is spiritual in a negative way. Like you, things which you cannot explain. And you see that somehow the money is tighter. And you don't know that in the world, the devil had nothing against you because you are not under a covenant. If you do not fight, somebody in the world can very easily have a better life than you because for him, the enemy is not after him. But now when you receive the Lord, you enter a covenant. Now you become a target. But you become a target of an inferior force which was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ and made a public spectacle of and, you know, and paraded. You understand? Now, I want you to know what that scripture in Colossians says. Because, and when Paul wrote it, he knew what he was talking about. Because that time in the Roman Empire, under which, you know, they were at that time, even at the time of Jesus, when they would go and capture territory, a certain kingdom, the commander who had gone and led the forces to capture that kingdom would get the king and bring him dressed in royal apparel to show that this was a king somewhere. But then they ride him through the city, through Rome, with his hands tied and on his knees. They would put something below. So they ride him through Rome to make a public spectacle. We've conquered this king, he's now useless. You see, eh? And now that was Rome feeling, yes, you know, we're expanding, we are conquering. Now, that's exactly what Jesus did. And when Paul wrote that, he knew what that he says when he went to hell, he made a public spectacle of the devil and paraded him in front of all the demons and showed him that this is a defeated person, completely humiliating. You know, it's a complete humiliation. And you've seen it sometimes in even what? The Israelites capturing their enemies, where they go and humiliate you in front of your former subjects. And why do they do that? They do that so that your subjects lose heart. And now they know that we are under these people. Now, that's what they would do. Even when Nebuchadnezzar came and attacked Judah, the first thing he does is he gets the king, parades him like that. But it was mostly a Roman thing. But basically, humiliating in front of your subjects. Now, your subjects know that we have no choice but to serve the king of Babylon. Then they tell them, you're going to be giving tribute or a tax every year to Babylon. Usually, sometimes they would kill the king. Sometimes they don't even have to kill him. The whole idea of humiliating him in front of that. Now, when the enemy comes in conflict, he comes in a way that he will use circumstances around you, which you have total control over. He will use deception, the wrong word, wrong things, discouraging things. But he is so defeated, and you have the name of Jesus. And when you mention Jesus, he knows what happened to him. Imagine those conquered kingdoms. Somebody comes with an edict from the emperor of Rome and says that the emperor of Rome has said this. All those people would bow down because they knew their king was defeated, and not just defeated, but, you know, humiliated in front of his subjects. Of course, that's the purpose of that, is to make them lose heart, because if they still have this thing, they can rise up actually. They can rise up against their conquerors and defeat them again and gain their independence. But no, they don't do that. And that's the purpose, by the way. And so many people who understand spiritual things know how that works. Even in the world today, they know how that works. They know that your enemy is not completely conquered until you publicly display him. Praise the Lord. I'll give you an example. Imagine if tomorrow, I go and visit some place. Then I come up and say, man, you guys, Museveni is the best president. Then they will even put you on TV. Now, there are some TVs they can't allow me on because they know what I will say. But now there, they will even put you on TV and they make a public spectacle of you. Haven't you seen that? He knows what he's doing. You think that he just wants to... No. The best conquest is when you make a public spectacle of somebody. Then people who had you saying, you know what, financial liberation, what, you know, the money is taken by the first family. Then you come up and say, no, this is the best president. Then people say, yeah. Do you know how many people's spirits you break? You understand? Imagine how people's spirits break when they hear things like that. Now, that's what those people did. Whereas, if you go and get somebody and he dies, that's why those kings would prefer to die in battle. Because there is an honorable thing about dying in battle. Eh? You understand? Even your people feel at least our king died defending us. But now, when they get you alive and they humiliate you like that on NTV, eh? Then you come and say, man, eh? Yeah, the next president is Muhos. Now, imagine that coming out of Kableta, man. Eh? Like, people look at you and they are completely demoralized. Now, of course, the beauty of it is that it can never happen. Hmm? That is the beauty of it. Eh? Is it can never, ever happen. Do you know why? Because there is nothing they have that I want. Amen? All the lessons I went through, God was preparing me to know that. In these words, you can get anything. 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 Eternal life. Eh? Lay hold on what? Eternal life. Now, what does the devil have to offer? The devil and his subject. Eh? Praise the Lord. So he says, you lay hold of your confession. Now, when you stand up and confess something which is contrary, by the way, let me tell you, even if it is true, when you stand up and confess something which is contrary to what the word of God says, eh, you're exactly the way I would be on NTV. Eh? I'm telling you, that's how it feels in the kingdom. So also you are endorsing the lie of the devil. So, and now he says that, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession. That confession which you come up and say, I'm blessed regardless of everything. You make the good confession. Now when you do that, there's something which the scripture says in Philippians chapter 1, I think start from verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Go to verse 28. It says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. Very, very, very important. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries. Because the adversaries are there. And now you see also, in some of those chats, they can glorify the adversaries. They can make it look like Jesus and the devil are equals. But you just chose a side, like as if Jesus is Arsenal and the devil is Manchester United. Like there is a lot of bad, bad teaching. You understand? They make it look like they are rivals. There is a rivalry between Jesus and them. I'm telling you, they would put you on your knees and put like a katana with some rollers on there. Then they have horses to drag you through the city so that all the citizens of Rome look and say, yes, we've conquered another kingdom. And that is the king. Paul talks about it in Colossians. He made a public spectacle of him. And now when they put the devil on such a pedestal, man, the guy becomes powerful. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, the only power the devil ever had was given to him by Adam. Amen? Given to him by who? And the second Adam came and took it all away and gave it back to us. Amen? So, the reason the Bible calls Jesus the second Adam, because the devil had control and he actually knew it. God made the world for Adam. But the devil came and deceived Adam and took it away. And he had control for all those years. But now when Christ came, he came and wrestled back control. Okay? Because it had been given to man. And Christ had to be a man, born of a woman. He could not come and defeat the devil and take back the world as God. Amen? He had to come because the world was given to man and man gave it to the devil. So Jesus had to become a man and come through a woman like the rest of us. Then come and take it back and give it back to us. Now, that being the case, so then you realize that the only power he has is the power of deception, deceiving you, coming, using circumstances around you, especially people around you. Now, some of you also have to be careful about that. Somebody was telling me the other day that, you see, my boss, I have to go and do rehearsals. There is some person in office who is disturbing me. They make sure I leave late, so I'm supposed to go and rehearse. Like, You people, when are you going to start exercising authority? Like, at what stage do you say that this person is being used by the devil? Now, you see, if you see a person, you will succumb to the deception. But if you know that there is a devil behind that person, trying to make sure that last time I couldn't come, this time I couldn't come because of this, because my boss did this, just know it's the devil. Now, address the devil. Forget about the person. Address the devil. And the devil will flee. Praise the Lord. Address the devil. I've told you before, who causes delay, who does what. Now, that's what it takes to have eternal life, where you're totally in control and you're victorious. And nothing can mess you up because, number one, you know how to address everything around you. When you're in that place, you pray and seek the Lord for his will. Now, Lord, what are we supposed to do? What do you want me to do and what? The devil is a non-factor whatsoever until he comes and starts planting words in you of defeat. And you know what I tried to do with Peter? And Jesus prayed for him. Then your faith gets, then you get terrified by your adversaries, spiritual or natural. Spiritual, you might not get terrified, unless, of course, like you see certain things. But you might not get terrified. And now when the Lord lets you see, somebody told me the other day, they were in their bed sleeping, then they saw the devil himself coming out of like a black thing and coming out like this. And he just comes there. And then the person was telling me, for some reason I wasn't scared. Yes, if you were, God would not let him appear. But then also you have to get to a point where he can appear and you're not scared of him because you know that they did this to him. And the person who did that to him, you have him inside you. Praise the Lord. So you have to have that confidence. There is nothing. There is nothing, nothing, nothing he can do apart from deceiving you. And now he does that a lot. And now he's in charge of these doctrines which go through churches, you know. Then they go and tie people in Nkondo and tell them that we are going to chase what? Demons out of you. Then they spend the whole day and night chasing out demons. And then they sweat. Man, I've seen this. People sweat and become white. And then they say to us, use them spiritual fear. And they have done nothing. Absolutely nothing. Praise the Lord. And now the devil loves that. Okay. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition. Praise the Lord. I've read this scripture before, but today, imagine somebody comes after you, another adversary, and you're totally not terrified by him. You know, he's the one who gets terrified. You know that. Now, like, let's say your enemies come up to you, and you come out, and they are not terrified in any way. So let's say they get you and throw you in Ruzira, and you come out, and you're what? You're not terrified. Do you know what that does to them? Let me tell you in the spirit, that scares them. Because when you're supposed to respond in a terrified way and you do not, it says, which is to them a proof of perdition. Now, when they do that and I'm not terrified, then they know they are going down. Because if they were not, I would be terrified. Praise the Lord. I'm actually talking about your enemies, wherever it is you work. Praise the Lord. Now, somebody comes and says, I'm going to, and you're not terrified by it. It turns back to them. And they are the ones who get terrified. And says, when you're not terrified by adversaries, which to them is a proof that they are going down. But to you is a proof that of your salvation, that you're going up. And there is nothing that can be done about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Actually, I just imagine me there saying, yeah, this guy. But like people would just look at you and say, now, man, like this world, what is this world coming to? Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so what we are talking about here, the good fight of faith and holding fast onto your confidence. That's why he says, do not lose your confidence, which has great reward. Praise the Lord. Confidence. Now, confidence has great reward. It's easier to be confident when there is no conflict from evil. But now being confident when there is absolutely no reason for you to be confident, man, that just causes shaking in the kingdom of darkness. Because you're speaking things which you have no right to speak. Now that is actually the good fight of faith. That is what transforms somebody from somebody who just speaks to somebody who knows what they are doing and is not moved by any circumstances. Now, that is the kind of person whom God wants to build,
who is not moved by any circumstance whatsoever, because they know that is a Joshua and a Caleb who go and see giants, and they are seeing giants, but they say they are bread. Because if the Lord delights in us, their protection has departed from them. Praise the Lord. Now, it's not that they don't see the giants. They see the giants. But they are seeing something bigger than the giants. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, the reason some people do not have some, because they believe they are not in conflict. The scripture says, let him who stands beware, lest he does not what? Lest he falls. Because you can think you are in a place which you have, you know, developed through your faith and so on. But it's always going to be under check. And now if you do not know that, they will come and shake you a bit to see if you're still steady. Then you will think that, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Of course, now you can get to a place where you actually really stand. But because what you are farming has been tested and tested, and now you know there is nobody who is going to can convince you otherwise, and now you've gotten to a place of knowing. But for most people, the knowing starts in some place. Then it grows. Now, that's why I was telling you here that people hear powerful words, and those words do not benefit them because they don't have roots for faith. They do not have root, like rooted in faith. What it says, rooted and grounded in faith, as it says in what? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and grounded in it with thanksgiving. That's why people grumble. They don't understand that they're actually sowing a seed, and that seed is going to yield. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, the reason people are not rooted is because they can be in a place where there is a make-believe, and now everybody starts like that. You start where you're confessing things which you are not absolutely sure of. But now if you do not take time, let me tell you, the problem with the children of God, and now here is something which I really have to address here, is that they do not take time to build these things which actually have reward, which have a definite reward in this life, a definite reward. I told you profit, definite profit. So they kind of get something, half believe it, then afterwards it will produce some small results. But immediately when there is a shaking, then they go back to what they knew before. Praise the Lord. So maybe you had even started on a journey of healing until now the thing comes back again. And you don't know that you have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life is no sickness. Eternal life is no brokenness. Eternal life is no defeat. Eternal life is moving from one level to the other, to the other, to the other. That is eternal life. And you're supposed to lay hold on it and kulemera ko, because the reason he's saying lay hold on it is because it's going to come under what? Under attack. And that is guaranteed. Praise the Lord. Now, if you do not have that attitude of whatever the Lord has given me, I am going to fight for. And I am not going to let it go away. Jesus died for me to have this. Like, I'm not going to stand and be in a place where I'm like, when Jesus died for me to be rich, can you imagine? He died for me to be rich. Now, of course, you hear that, you say, yeah, he died for me. Yeah. But now somebody somewhere is going to say, but then why? No, there is no way that I am blessed. Now, that's why to help some of you, I even came up, and the Lord told me to do this on Monday morning, to be putting up a series of scriptures which people are supposed to what? Meditate on that week, which I just want you to meditate on that week. Praise the Lord. And now, this is really spoon feeding. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to beg you to just get those scriptures and keep on repeating it throughout the day. That's all it takes. Glory to God. Just keep on repeating them. All of them are going to focus on wealth and health. Okay? Those two things. Just continue. Now, this last week, we were meditating on which scripture? Galatians 3:13. Let's read there a bit and see. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, I want you to know that all these things were planned by God. So Jesus had to go and hang on a tree so that he becomes a curse for us. Now, the curse of the law, we know what the curse of the law is. If you want to know it, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. and start from verse 15. And you get a glimpse of the curses. Eh? But all of them actually center around a few things. Number one, cursed shall you be the city, cursed shall you be the country. You know these things. I don't want us to go through them because they are none of our business. Eh? But now, then he says in Galatians 3:14, let's go back to the nice part. Eh? He says in 13 that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, having himself become a curse for you, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, the blessing of Abraham might come upon. Now, this is like cheating an exam. God gave those people, if you obey the voice of the Lord, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in the country, blessed in the city. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be what? Your bowels, needing bowels will be blessed. Your herds will give birth to whatever. A lot of what? All those blessings. But then there was the other part of the curse, if you do not obey. Now, what Jesus did is he came and took away all the part of the curse and left only the blessing. That is like just cheating exams. Okay? Now, the curse, those are none of our business. But the blessings, now those ones are our business. Now, that is what he did. Now, where you say, I am blessed in the city, blessed in the country. I will be the head, not the tail. I am blessed. My needy bowel is blessed. Everything is blessed. I can never be in debt because I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. If you are in debt, you are not fulfilling those blessings. Now, you just confess those blessings and say the blessings of. Can you imagine the blessings of Abraham? Of I'll make you be rich. I'll make your name great. That is part of the blessing of Abraham. Praise the Lord. So you say, my name is not going to be ordinary because I'm going, my name is great because the blessing of Abraham is mine in what? In Christ. Just bequeathed to you, just given to you free of charge without the part of the curse. I don't know how much people realize that Jesus, how much he almost cheated exams. That's why it calls the better covenant. Because it's like, it is too good to be true and leaves you on a very small part. I'll give you an example. Do you know that scripture where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Luke chapter 4, start from verse 18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant. Do you know why he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant? You go where he picked that scripture from, Isaiah 61. You see here he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he stopped and closed the book. Now go to Isaiah. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Go ahead. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. Jesus said no vengeance. When he said acceptable year of the Lord, he closed. Because here it says, proclaim vengeance. Ah, this is no time for vengeance. Eh? Now, that's why Jesus was very fast to close the book. Because the next part of that script, you remember he was reading from here. Eh? He was not reading from Luke, because Luke wasn't there. He was reading from Isaiah this, and he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If he had not closed the book, he was also going to say, and the day of vengeance of our God, glory to God. There is no vengeance. This is cheating exams. So he stops at acceptable year, then closes the thing and says, let's stop there for now. Praise the Lord. Now, when we understand that our part is so limited. I mean, not limited, but we have to get these words and actually make them a part of our lives, where they are not just words, where we do not just come and listen to word, you know, this is what the Lord is saying, this is what the Lord is saying, this is what the Lord is doing. Because I've discovered that I did even with preachers, some of them even who should know better, and I'm not even talking about frozen chosen, and you see their level of faith, and you say, eh, do you really believe anything of the thing? Like, you can see somebody and you look at them and say, do you actually believe the things we profess? Because they have not had the foundation of if God has said something, it has to come to pass. And I have to see it in my life. That is the good fight of faith. I have to see this in my life, come what may. Praise the Lord. Now, when you don't have that thing, when you don't have that determination, you will see things and they will not benefit you. Let me tell you this. There was a time way back when I was, really struggling and what. Then one day, I was seated with Prophet Elvis. And He was shifting house. Somebody was helping him shift house. So they came and told him that they needed like 5 or 6 million to finish the shifting, putting up all hangings, what, placing TVs and what mount, and all that. He needed 5 million. He didn't have it there on him. Then I saw, I'm not telling you what I had, I saw. Then he said, hey, how much do you need? So he went into his car. He had the Harrier. Then sat in the car. And he said, what do you need it for? Then they told him, we want to put these things up and what. Then he went and envisioned those things being put up. It took him like, I think max 10 minutes. Then he came back and sat down. And they went and warmed his tea and he continued. In less than 15 minutes, somebody came and gave him $2,000. There when I was seeing. There when I was seeing. Then I said, if I can see this and I remain the same, I'm stupid. So there are certain things which you see and know that, you remember what Jesus said, to whom little is given what? Little is required. Now, if I see that and I also remain there the same, what? Like, I'm stupid. I saw, like, he just goes and envisions, then the money comes. You just see something. Praise the Lord. Now, remember what the scripture says, the things that you've seen, do. Remember the scripture I read last time? The things that you've heard, that you've seen, that you've received, these do. Praise the Lord. So after that, I also started doing what? And now, by the way, that was like a real turning point because I knew I can get anything I want. I just have to envision it. It's not going to take 15 minutes because I haven't been doing it for a long time. That time. But it will come. Praise the Lord. Now, that is the creative power that God put inside us. But you're busy. You're busy, too busy, going to work, what? Yet actually this thing can't produce anything. By the way, I haven't seen anything that I really like in terms of when we're saying we're going to property. As soon as I see something and it blows me away and I say this is what I want, I know how to get it. And the price does not matter. I am not the one paying. I'm doing it on somebody else's what? Bill. Praise the Lord. Some of you, they go to a restaurant and tell you, ask for what you want. Somebody else is paying the bill. Then you start looking at the prices. Why are you looking at prices? You're not the one paying. Praise the Lord. Now, when I want a house and I see it and it blows me away, I say, this is the one I want. It is not my bill. I will go and envision it. I might not even ask how much it costs. I will just go and envision it and envision it and envision it. And it, I saw that and I practiced it and I practiced it and it made me what I am and I can do it again and again. Praise the Lord. Now, I saw it. Now, some people would see it and remain the same. Because they are stupid. I'll tell you that. Some people have even here had this and they'll still go and remain the same. And they said, Mugenda Zijawa. Man, and like you've learned nothing. At least try and fail. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, at least try and let it not work. But don't just listen. Like, don't be those kind of people. Glory to God. There are things which after you've seen, not like, where are you? Now, the difference between people who are, do you think I was alone that time? There was actually one other person who saw it. The person who wanted the money, who was doing the work. But it did not change his life like it did mine. Praise the Lord. The word did not benefit them because it was not added with faith. I know after that he continued struggling. That same person, after he had seen that, there is no way I can see something like that and I will try. Because I know if I can perfect it, I am sorted for life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, at least try. Now, the person who was there, who really saw it. When I saw it, I said, now I've seen this. It has given me a responsibility of making it come to pass in my own life. Because to whom much is given, much is what? Required. Now, you don't know that I'm actually putting you in a position where God is going to require a lot from you by telling you what I'm telling you. So you have to put yourself under what? Under pressure to achieve certain things and say, I'm not going to rest until this is achieved. Glory to God. I am not going to rest until this is done. That's what makes the difference between people whose lives you see going up and those who just remain there. There are people who listen to words and they're unmoved. I remember in 2018, 18, after the beginning of their prophecy. Remember that time when prophet did the Oscars, but not the ones he had seen, the ones which he got from right there. Then, the very next day I met him, I was the first one to come. Usually there is a few of us there, but I was the first one to come, and I found him there. Then he told me that he has said this as fellowship, that's why I'm saying it. If he hadn't, I wouldn't tell you. Then he said that the devil attacked him at night, like in the morning when he was drifting off to sleep. And he told him that, how can you just come in my kingdom and plunder it? Okay, more or less like, who do you think you are to just come into my kingdom and plunder it? Then he like held on to his robe. And then the devil scratched him. And he showed me the scratch marks. They were there, actual scratch marks. They were there, skr, like this. He scratched him like this and left. So now I know that there is nobody in the world who can do that, who can pick things out of the air like that. I know all those men. There is not a single person in the whole world who can do that. Not one. No prophet, nobody can do it. I know. I'm not saying it because it's my spiritual father. I know it for a fact. I can even go ahead and say, not pastor, present. Just like that. It's easy to get things which are, okay, not easy, but it's powerful. But you know when you get your revelation, you know, and he said that. Eh? But where I pick now something there, right there, it shows a level of connection which I have not seen any other man of God do, I'm telling you. But now, the difference between me and you. Praise the Lord. And I was telling this to somebody. The difference between me and you is that when I see that, I say, okay, now I know there is no grace like this one. But I also know that being under this grace and being close to the person who has this grace, there is going to be some judgment for me if I do not bring these things to pass. So I put myself under pressure and say that if this is somebody whom I, like, it's not like I read this, though somebody who is sitting next to me and even shows me scratch marks. And is there taking coffee? I'm taking coffee. Now I say that, how am I going to answer this if I remain an ordinary person? When I'm near this person. You understand? Some of you even like you can go and let's say if you went and met some powerful man like in the world, some top businessman and whatever. You come back and people say, but what do you wafunye yoji? Isn't it? But then you meet a powerful grace and you not put yourself under pressure. Let me tell you, I put myself under pressure to make sure that I cannot be ordinary. I can't. If he was at a distance, maybe, but when you go and listen to him every Tuesday, how? Praise the Lord. You have to put yourself under pressure to say, I am not going to live an ordinary life. I can't. This is not who God made. Jesus went through all he went through for me to live a victorious life. And you put yourself under pressure and say, under no circumstances whatsoever am I going to lead an ordinary life. Praise the Lord. And you put yourself under, nobody's going to put you on pressure, by the way. You have to do that to yourself. And then you say, I cannot be ordinary. I was never born to be ordinary. The blessing of Abraham is mine in Christ Jesus. And then you hold on to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think verse 13. Okay? He says, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Now, this is another thing. Of hold fast, which means somebody wants to come and take them away. Do you understand that? Like hold fast to your handbag. It means there is some threat. Now he says, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Of this, like the things I'm telling you to meditate here about. Just hold fast onto them. Now, during the day, there will be something to confuse you so that your mind goes here and there and what. And now, you just have to continue saying it. Until now you start knowing, you know, somehow it builds in you and so on. And then, hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, there are patterns of sound words which now you're hearing from me. Okay? Which I will even give through the admin, through our groups, for people to meditate on. Okay? Now, hold fast onto those words. Just say it. Say it. Say it. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is summarized as sickness, poverty, failure, defeat, premature death, all such things. For your children and yourself, all those things. All that is, actually, that's how you summarize the curse of sickness is the curse of the law. According to Deuteronomy 28, verse 59. He says the curses are sicknesses. Praise the Lord. Then the blessings of Abraham are health, wealth, dominion, divine protection. Dominion, I will make you the head, not the tail. Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Your descendants will be blessed. Those are things which Abraham had to fight for, and Jesus Christ just got them, pa, and gave them to you, pa. But for God to tell him that, even had to first go and sacrifice your son, what? Then God says, now surely I know. But now, having him done all that, Jesus just gets them, all of them, and gives them to you, pa. Those are the pattern of sound words you are supposed to hold fast onto. But somehow, still, you will not hold fast to them. Something will come and confuse you, and you will hold fast to something other than that. And then you wonder why you will not. But if you put yourself under pressure and say, and I even try to tell these, you know, people here, you know, like honestly, the only reason people do not even, can be even near me and they do not necessarily have some of the things I have, is just because they have not put themselves under pressure. They are casual about it. And as some Nigerian says, a casual approach produces casualties. The biggest thing of the church in this end time, this church of ours, is casual approach. They don't understand that if you had a piece of land, you know, people even kill for like a strip like this. Eh? Somebody comes and says that, no. This car strip belongs to the road. You see now where people, posh houses, but people have a road like this, like a path. But it's because of stupidity. Now, somebody will fight for a small piece of land like this. But the devil will come and take everything and you will give it to him. But let somebody, because you live in the natural, you don't understand the spiritual. Otherwise, you would fight for what is spiritually yours with the same vigor and determination that you fight with what is naturally yours. You are not going to encroach onto my land. This is my land. You bring a surveyor. It ends here. You are not going to encroach on it. You do all sorts of things and you fight. But if you were to do that sort of fighting with spiritual things and tell the devil, you are not touching anything that is mine. I am going to live a blessed life. I'm going to be rich. The scripture says that. I am going to be rich. I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to be sick. My children are not going to be sickly. I am. My descendants are blessed. And you fight and confess it. You will see the dividend of it. But there has to be some effort in it. Praise the Lord. But because people live in the natural, they will let the devil come and dance around them. Then they say, you know, man, I had money, I had collected money. Then I got sick. Then I went and they diagnosed me. Then what? And now then eventually you get well. And you even come and give a testimony that I was sick and I'm what? Well. But the devil has played with your money. Now that money would be helping you to do what? To do something else, something tangible. But somehow you'll wait for when you've gathered it. And I know, there was a time I was like, I remember one day I had, and now of course I didn't know it was the effect of tithing in fake places. But for some reason, one Christmas I had a lot of money, and a lot wasn't that much. But in my corporate world and so on, like it was some money, so I put a bill there, Standard Chartered, which was my bank. By the beginning of January, I had zero. The first thing that happened, I hammered somebody's cup. Yeah. You see how the devil messes you up? Yeah? Like then you pay, then the person says, ah, so then you say, okay, let me pay, as I have the money. The next thing, your children are sick. Ah. Then hospital bills, whatever. The next thing, after that you have no money. And the guy has played on you. Now, let me tell you, accidents is part of the curse. Because of the Kia, why should I enter somebody's car? Don't I know how to drive? When you are cautious of the place, there's a time I actually did it because I was on WhatsApp. And then I entered some lady's car, bam, near Ring Road, somewhere there. Then, all the Vayai who were there came and told the woman, Sasura Musanja, and I was saying, you know, like, obviously, I was in the wrong. First of all, she was in front, I was behind. There's no way she can be in the wrong. Then I just stood and looked at them, I was in shock. I wanted to ask the woman, how much do you want? And I pay her and I go. But the guys came and said, Then Bambi, a woman, she got scared. So I didn't even have to go and protect her and say, no, it's okay. What? So I said, how much?
And she was like, then the guy said, Muzai, tula moto kwayo. Akusasule. What? Then I'm like, what's wrong with this man? Then you know what they said, eh? That on our daf, Oyomchara, a motoka, it's a Mabagane, you know. Like, that is not even possible. No. So I just stood there. I went, by the time I stood up to actually go and tell the lady, she just drove off. So I said, okay, let's get out of here because I don't like being unfair. So I said, let me follow her and, pay her whatever it is she thinks the damage is. When I followed her, she thought, I think she thought I was, she drove. Now, where did you do a rally? I said, now you go. No, but obviously they're wrong. Praise the Lord. Eh? But because I'm blessed, praise the Lord. Eh? The blessing of Abraham, you remember when Abraham lied about his wife? Eh? And actually, the person whom he lied to, God told him, go and repent to that man and also give him some wealth. Okay, God did not tell him, but he told him that you have survived. The guy said, but I've done nothing wrong. He told me it is his sister. And the God said, okay, and because you've done nothing, I've spared you. But otherwise, eh, now go and watch. Now, when you're in the blessing of Abraham, even when you make a mistake, the person whom you messed up will be the one to repent to you. That's the blessing of Abraham. It's in the Bible. Do you know he did it twice? It's like, why were you there to be lied to? Because when God declares somebody righteous, even when the guy does something fake, it's what? He's righteous. Because God has... He did it twice. And twice God came for the person whom he lied to. And at no time did he even tell Abraham, but okay, stop lying. Now, the blessing of Abraham is yours in what? Even when you make a mistake, they will come and apologize to you. Praise the Lord. Now, I knocked a woman, but... He thought I was going to ask her for money. She took off. So I said, you go. Praise the Lord. But it's like a joke, but it's not a joke. Eh? Yeah. Because this is what happens. This is Abraham. Now, Christ just got all of that and gave it to you. Bam. What about the curses? Don't even talk about them. He closed the book like he did there. Acceptable of the Lord. And he cannot read the year of vengeance. He says, he closed the what? The book. Because if he had gone any further, you would have said the year of vengeance. And that was at his business. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, how can you not enjoy the blessings of when Christ... Now imagine, he's up there in heaven, seeing you struggling. And he says, do you know what I went through to give you these blessings? Now, why don't you receive them? Somebody say, I receive them. Somebody say, I receive them. Say, the blessing of Abraham is mine in Christ. Say it again. Say it again. Hallelujah. Say it again. Now, say it again. Some of you, if I don't make you say it over and over here, you will not say it again. You will live here and you will have forgotten. Like, I want you to understand. Like, this is such a powerful thing. Upon the Gentiles, that is you and me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Say it again. Say it again. Now, just say that. Just continue saying that. Understand what the blessing, just expound your mind on what the blessing is. He was rich, he had servants. Man, he had male and female servants. Praise the Lord. That is the blessing of who? Which is yours. Glory to God. But now if you're a servant, when Abraham had servants, glory to God. Everything, the Bible says it, everything, Abraham. Everything. He had male and female servants. He had, a lot of substance. He's this. Glory to God. But some of you just go and sing, Father Abraham had many sons. Right hand, left hand. Glory to God.
the plot of the enemy on this country has been messed up. At some stage, you pray for the nation. The reason I tell you people to pray for the nation is because it helps you have bigger dreams than yourself. And also, you have to intercede for the nation. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 43. It says, the alien or the foreigner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. This is part of the curses. Eh? Foreigners shall come into your country, and they will rise higher and higher, but you go where? Lower and lower. Then it goes on to say, in verse 44, he shall lend to you, the foreigner, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. Now, the foreigner, you know this is true for Uganda, isn't it? Eh. Now we have to break this curse where people come from. You know now even Eritreans. Have you ever been to Asmara? Like the poorest country. But people come from there and they feel sweet here in Uganda. Like, and they have Ugandan, their housemaids are all, like, those things annoy me, by the way. Maybe it's some of you, it's not your burden, but those things annoy me. Okay, if you can say those Bazungu, at least they come from bigger countries. Even that is, of course, a fake. But now even people come from poorer countries. And I have nothing against them, by the way, or against any foreigners. But they should not come here and rule over us in our country. That is not right. That is a curse. That's part of the curses of Deuteronomy. So we have to, these are things which we have to intercede about. Then it says, they shall lend to you. Do you know, there is not, apart from Post Bank, there is not a single Ugandan bank. Even Centenary is owned by whatever, some Germans through the Catholics. Crane Bank, which was at least, okay, Sudeus Bank also, it was closed. So there is not a single bank. So they are the ones who lend to us. Amen? And there are Kenyan banks in Uganda. But there is not a single Ugandan bank in what? In Uganda. Forget Kenya, in Uganda. Tuanga biswaza. Like, it is just fake. It is just fake. It is not supposed. This is curse. The curse of what? Of the law. Foreigners come and just phew on top of you. And for you, you're down. Indians come, you're down. The other day they killed an Indian. Police became like FBI to find the killers. When they kill Ugandans, even ministers, nobody cares. But you kill a foreigner. Not that you are going to kill anybody. But my point is, when a foreigner is killed, Ugandan police become like FBI. They trapped the man into Kenya and arrested him from there because he had killed an Indian. Which is sad, of course. It was a horror thing. You remember that video? Horror man. Praise the Lord. So we don't mind anybody. We don't mind Indians, Eritreans, all those people. But when they come to Uganda, we are not supposed to be below them, looking up to them like this. That's a curse. Praise the Lord. That's a what? Let me tell you. Okay, maybe this is my burden, but I don't know. But or our burden as watchman. But if anything happens to this nation, God is going to judge us for it. You know that. We are responsible. Like, you know, you can't play game. Like, we really, really are responsible for what happens to this nation. Because it can go, if it wasn't for our prayers, it can go one way or the other. And it can go in a very, very, very bad tangent. And people take these things lightly, especially believers, when it comes to things of politics. If the American believers had understood what Obama was going to do to their country, they would have prayed that he does not become president. But now there is no way back. They are on a downward spiral and they cannot reverse it. There is nothing they can do to reverse it. And I remember Kenneth Hagin gave a prophecy so many years ago. And he said that he saw three frogs coming from the ocean into America. And the Lord told him that there is a wave of socialism which is coming to America. And he said, tell the church to pray about it, that it doesn't happen. Then he went and told some prominent people, men of God whom he knows, that the Lord told me there is a wave of socialism coming. And they laughed at him. They said, there is no way socialism can come to America. America is the maker of capitalism. It was at the time. But guess now what they are facing? Socialism. But then that time Kenneth Hagin said something. He said he went and he told the Lord. I told them and they laughed at me. And he said the Lord told him, you leave them. When they come to my judgment seat, they will not be laughing. We have a responsibility towards Uganda. Don't make no mistake. We have a responsibility towards Uganda. Because the enemy has a plan. And it is to destroy our children. There's going to be a lot of medical interventions which are supposed to cause population degradation. They are going to go through our politicians. That's what they want. Of course, we are going to stop all these things. They want to go through the politicians. And you saw what happened with the COVID vaccine. Now I'm seeing even NTV is writing stories of people who died after being vaccinated. But I'm telling you, if we hadn't come out, but when I say we, I mean Kableta. Do you know they had sent military and the military was standing in the, pulling people out of buses to forcefully vaccinate them? And I took a personal responsibility. And that vaccine is not a simple thing. And there is nothing which is coming from those places which is a simple thing. Now, there was a time I was showing people the effects of the vaccine. Now, in places like in the UK, a very high increase of deaths after the vaccine, increase of cancers, increase of what? Now, do you know what that has caused? People's organs are suffering because of the vaccine. Now, do you know what that has caused? That caused a very high demand for body organs. And now, they are coming to places in Africa because we are the ones who were wise enough not to take that stupid vaccine. And now they want our organs. Because for them, they took the vaccine, their lungs are failing, their hearts are failing, their kidneys are failing and so on. Now that's why they passed the recent organ bill. So that they start selling. And these are our leaders. These are the leaders who some of you support. They just want to start selling organs. And I'm telling you, if I did not stand in the way of it with these people who work with me, you would see what is going to happen. Because I warn the people, I speak politically, but then I don't stop there. I go and pray about it. And the authority of this country is given to me, by the way. So I stop things. Some people think that, some people are waiting to see whatever cars here with soldiers to know that. But you'll see that. But I'm telling you, if I don't stand to stop this thing, on the day of judgment, I would have to answer for it. Because with every authority comes responsibility. Praise the Lord. They will come and harvest organs of people, our young people, take them abroad. And you know, like they check, were you vaccinated? No. If you are not vaccinated, somebody went with a small sickness, pew, dead. Then they give the relatives the body and the body is full of cotton. This is what the devil would want to happen. Praise the Lord. So now I'm just telling you this so that you know, if you're a part of this ministry, you have to pray for Uganda. Amen? And on the day of judgment, you will see the reward that God is going to give you for just having prayed for the country. That the plan of the devil does not take root. The plan that God has for us takes root. Praise the Lord. The other day I was reading that they discovered $13 trillion worth of gold in Uganda. Do you know what $13 trillion is? That is more than half the GDP of America. That's enough money for everybody here to be rich. But you think you'll be rich? And there's our president. I'm telling you. Because now they're already cutting deals with some foreign countries to come and take, just give to a few people, because you're supposed to be poor. Now, like, that is the plan. Imagine where God sees Uganda, all that wealth, and the others which haven't been discovered, by the way, which the Lord is showing us. And he said they will only discover them when the right people are in control. So now, don't be discouraged. Just know that the Lord has delivered. Okay, this one you have to intercede. The Lord has delivered us from the curse of the law of being inferior in our own country. The Lord has delivered us from what? That curse of being inferior in our own land. Praise the Lord. Hey, God bless you.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines. That is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at the_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.